Are you ready to talk baseball? Well, step up to the plate. You're listening to Passion for the Pastime. And here's your host, Walter.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? And welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Hope you are doing well, staying safe, and being healthy out there. On this episode of the podcast, for your listening pleasure, I bring to you, you may see him on MLB Network from time to time. You may see him on MLB on Fox from time to time. Senior writer for The Athletic, Ken Rosenthal, will be joining the show to talk some ball, talk some storylines. And I'm really excited for this opportunity to have the conversation with Ken Rosenthal because a lot of stuff is going on around the game of baseball right now. I mean, we talked briefly last podcast about Tatis and the sign stealing, right? I mean, the accusations from Trevor Bauer of all people, the accusations that Tatis was stealing signs. Well, I'm gonna dive into that a little bit with Ken Rosenthal. I'm gonna get his thoughts on it, and maybe if he has a different perspective as to what transpired with the Dodgers and the Padres with Tatis and Trevor Bauer. And also, I mean, there was a trade that happened yesterday that we have to get into. The Yankees and the Giants make a trade, which a lot of people, I wouldn't say were scratching their heads, but it was a little bit of a shocker because it happened in April. I mean, when was the last time that there was a trade in April? Just to me, I think it might be Kevin Pillar a couple of years ago with the Blue Jays and the Giants. So the Giants picking away some guys from the AL East here. Pillar no longer on the Giants, but you know he was a good spark plug. So could he be a difference maker? Talkman coming over from the Yankees, because I mean we see what we got from the East a couple of years ago when we got Mike Yastrzemski. So is he Mike Yastrzemski 2.0? I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. But talking about Mike Yastrzemski and as it relates to Talkman, you know it kind of leaves you wondering if the oblique strain, if the Giants are not kind of giving the full details of it. I mean, an oblique strain could be hard to come back from, but, you know, immediately following the MRI, they go and get Mike Talkman. And it just makes you wonder, okay, is it more serious than they're letting on, leading us to believe with Mike Yastrzemski? Or are they just trying to get depth? Because Yastrzemski may have to be out of the lineup for not, you know, an IL stint, but for a little while. And maybe they don't want to rush him back. They want him to be 100% because they're going to need everybody on deck to play 162. Again, remember, this is not a 60-game season. And I think that people are kind of realizing that. I mean, it's kind of hard because you had the 60-game season last year. And with the fast start, I mean, when we get to 60, it's going to feel like, okay, we're going to the playoffs. No, we're not even halfway there. We're not even halfway to the end of the season. And, you know, I feel like our brains need to be retaught what 162 feels like. This is a situation with Mike Yastrzemski that they need to take care of it early on, and this is a good time to have an injury, right? I mean, you hear it all the time in sports. You'd rather have the injury happen at the beginning of the season, you know, football week one, week two, than have it happen week 16 wild card round, right? You want it to happen early so that you can adjust and so that you have time to recover 100%. And bringing in Mike Talkman, I think essentially what they're planning on doing is adding the depth. They get that left-handed bat, and they allow Yastrzemski to come back 100%. Because without Yastrzemski, the Giants, I mean, their starting pitching is what is carrying them early in the season, but they're going to need those bats to wake up at some point, you know, and they have been. I mean, they've been hitting a lot better. They scored, I want to say, like 9 runs. I was on my way home. I walk into the walk into my house and I see the score, 9-0. What happened? Like, I was listening to it on the radio, but I wasn't really paying attention. And then I turned it on late, and I didn't hear a score. So I walk into the house and it's 9-0. I'm like, what is going on? And they did all that, I believe, without a home run. So, I mean, that's a positive for the offense. Last night they got outslugged by the Colorado Rockies, who won their first road game. So congrats to the Rockies. Rockies just have a whole bunch of situations going on there. I mean, they had their GM resign at the beginning of the week. I'm going to talk to Ken Rosenthal about that also, the GM, who he thinks could be in line for that gig, and what does that mean? What does this situation mean for Trevor Story and others moving on in that situation in Colorado? So we're going to get into all of that coming up next. Senior writer for The Athletic, Ken Rosenthal. You're listening to Passion for the Pastime podcast. All right, welcome back to Passion for the Pastime, everybody. Walter here, and now I'd like to welcome in my next guest, who really needs no introduction. You may see him on TV from time to time, senior writer of The Athletic and MLB Network insider, Ken Rosenthal. Ken, thank you for coming on to the podcast this morning. How you doing?
Good, Walter. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Ken. I know you're really busy, so let's just get right on into it. We had a transaction that took place between the Giants and the Yankees yesterday, Mike Tauchman. What can you tell us about Mike coming over to the Bay Area?
Actually, I'm kind of a Tauchman fan. And in 2019, he had a really good season. Plays all three outfield positions and plays them well, and was good offensively that year as well. Now, 2020, the shortened season, not as good, and some questions arose about him during that season. And it seemed that the Yankees just couldn't find playing time for him this season, and were also looking to get another left-handed reliever because of some injuries in their bullpen. So it sort of made sense for them, but I remember writing in spring training, oh my gosh, Mike Tauchman versus Jay Bruce, who are they going to keep? And now both of them are gone.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a shocker because I guess the Giants have said that they've had him on the radar from as long as spring training. So you figure if it only took Wandy Peralta to get him, what was taking so long?
Well, Tauchman, I believe, is out of options. That's one issue. And I'm not sure where he is on service time, but maybe these teams just wanted to see how their season's developed and go from there. But you don't often see trades of major league players in April. It's just pretty rare because, generally speaking, teams look to the first quarter of the season, first third of the season, to assess what they have. And then come June and July, they start looking at additions, subtractions, etc. So, yeah, it was a surprise from that perspective. But it did, as the Giants explained it and as the Yankees explained it, make sense for both.
And where does this kind of read into the Mike Yastrzemski injury? He's dealing with the oblique strain. Do you read into it a little bit with the addition of Tauchman, or are they just trying to get depth here?
Their answer to that was that the two are unrelated, that Yastrzemski's situation did not prompt this trade. Certainly, Tauchman gives them insurance if Yastrzemski is down, and obliques, we know, are tricky, but I will take them at their word that the two are unrelated. And if they say they were looking at him as far back as spring training, and I believe that because the Yankees were getting hits on Tauchman all during that time, then it would make sense that, yeah.
We're speaking with Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, and we're talking about the Giants here. They just made a trade for Tauchman, talking about Yastrzemski, and they've been the surprise team to start the season this year, Ken. Where do you see the Giants keeping pace at this point with the Dodgers and the Padres? I mean, I know it's early and everyone's getting excited in the Bay Area, but if they do keep pace, do you see them potentially being buyers at the trade deadline?
Well, it is early. You're right. At the same time, Walter, their starting pitching seems real to me. And if it is real, then why can't they at least contend for a wild card spot? I don't know that the Padres are catching the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers still are the best team in the division. Remember, they're the favorite without bets for a while. They are the deepest and, to me, the best. Can the Giants stick with the Padres? Well, right now they're ahead of them. the Diamondbacks are a factor too. I actually wrote about them today. So it's an interesting division. Four teams that might be pretty good, including two, the Giants and Diamondbacks, that might be better than we expected. So I don't rule them out contending for wild cards. We have not seen an inspired play out of the NL East teams, and the NL Central is kind of mediocre. So yeah, contend. They're going to need Yastrzemski to come back and be not maybe what he was last year, but a big offensive contributor. And of course, given the hot starts of Posey and Longoria, they will need those guys to stay healthy.
And speaking of the Diamondbacks, you know, the story of the weekend was Madison Bumgarner. You know, he's had a rough go of it ever since he went to Arizona. Then he throws the no-hitter, the seven-inning no-hitter. But MLB sounds like they're not going to recognize it as a no-hitter. Are you kind of on that stance as well, or should it be recognized as a no-hitter?
Honestly, Walter, it's one of these things that I don't think is that big a deal. And it's funny because people say, well, is it or not? We know what it is. It's a seven-inning no-hitter. And whether you call it a no-hitter or you don't call it a no-hitter, that's how it will be remembered. That's how it should be. So I have no problem with it not being an official no-hitter. There are some inconsistencies there because it is a complete game, for instance. But this one didn't get me that worked up.
Yeah, definitely. With the seventh inning no-hitter, I mean, it was slated for seven, so it's not like it was cut short or anything. So I think that's the debate. It would be more interesting, though, Ken, if it was a perfect game, right? I mean, would we have this same discussion, a little bit more passion behind it? Because it kind of seems that no-hitters are becoming normalized to the viewing public now. So it would be interesting if it turned out to be a perfect game, where the discussion would be and for the record books anyway. But we're still talking with Ken Rosenthal here of The Athletic, and we're kind of sticking with the topic of the NL West because there are a lot of storylines coming out of the West this weekend. And another one, you talked about the Padres, and they had the big face off with the Dodgers, and as you know, Trevor Bauer was vocal on a certain sequence of events that took place over the weekend, which it seemed that Tatis was peeking at signs. Do you think that that's really what was going on, or is it just a lot of smoke there?
Well, I will refer listeners to what I wrote the other day, because what I did was call or text and call three former catchers. I know the answer to this. And I said, okay, well, how did you guys see it? And basically what they saw is that he was peeking, but by the time he peeked, it was too late to see the sign. The sign had already been given. So if he was looking at anything, he was looking at location. And in that at bat, Bauer repeatedly had pitched him away. So it was not a shock that on 3-2, he went away again, and Tatis, anticipating that, reached out. Now, if you saw Will Smith move, okay. But if Will Smith moved too early, then that's on Will Smith. So while Fowler might have had a point, and certainly peaking is, as he called it, Bush League, there are other things that went into this, and it was more nuanced. And, of course, the Padres denied it. Tatis even peeks for signs at all. So, to sum it up, he definitely wasn't peeking for signs because he looked too late to do that. And if he picked up location, well, that's on the catcher and it's on Bauer for pitching him that way the whole at bat.
Yeah, and the thing is, so if it was found that he was stealing, right? There's nothing stealing signs, rather. There's nothing really in the rule book, right, Ken, that there would be any type of ramifications for this type of behavior? What would MLB do moving forward?
MLB, not that. That's on the players. And they address that themselves. Like anything with sign stealing from second base, if a runner is doing that, you change the sign, do different things. You've seen guys block out, infielders block out the runner at times in recent years. And also, if you're the catcher, you can tell the hitter, hey, do that again, and it's coming at you. So there are ways to control this on the field. Players kind of run the game themselves in certain respects, and that is what would happen. It's not illegal. to steal signs on the field. It's illegal to do it electronically, and that's been taken care of. But as far as trying to gain an edge with your eyes, people have done that forever. Now, there might be ramifications for it, but it's not illegal.
Last thing, Ken, before we let you go here, another top story in the National League West. The Rockies GM resigned earlier this week. And do you have any guess as to who may be in line for that gig? And because it's not really a sexy pick for a job, in other words. Do you have any guess as to who may be in line for that?
Well, Walter, it is one of 30. And for that reason, they'll get a long line of applicants and people interested. It's definitely a challenging place because of Coors Field, and no GM has ever sustained success at Coors Field. And the other part that's challenging about it is that it's kind of an unusual setup. The owner is very involved, and it remains to be seen whether the GM, whoever that person might be, will even have autonomy. They just appointed a club president who is also quite close to the owner and would seemingly carry through what he wanted to carry through. So all that aside, there are many candidates out there, and two is Rockies' size. Chad Levine, Twins, he worked for the Rockies for 5.5 years, and Mike Operations, the Marlins, now in the commissioner's office, he too worked for the Rockies at one point. Those are two names, but frankly, I have no idea what they might do. They might even stay internal.
All right, and my last question for you, Ken, before I let you go here. With that being said, with the GM, with a new GM possibly coming in, is the writing on the wall for Trevor Story to be traded at the trade deadline?
The writing was on the wall for that even before this all took place. Now, whether the Rockies do what we anticipate they will do, that remains to be seen. They're a team that is run quite curiously. And look, they traded Nolan Arenado and didn't get a lot back. And his GM resigned in April, but GMs never resign. So I don't know that I can make any state predictions with the Rockies.
All right, Ken. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. You have a good one, and talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks very much.
And again, that was Ken Rosenthal, senior writer for The Athletic. Go ahead and give him a follow. If you're not following Ken Rosenthal and you're a baseball fan, I really question your judgment. But go ahead and give Ken Rosenthal a follow on Twitter at Ken_Rosenthal. And go ahead and check him out on The Athletic. Like he mentioned, a lot of the things that we talked about here, he has some form of story on it. Or if he doesn't, someone else in The Athletic does. So go ahead and check all that out, Ken Rosenthal. And when you do... follow Ken Rosenthal on Twitter. Make sure to set your notifications because I get notifications from Ken Rosenthal for breaking news. It seems every half hour, and it is well worth it to keep you up to date on everything, not just NL West, not just certain teams, everything baseball. Go ahead and give Ken a follow. I want to thank Ken for coming on. It was a great conversation. Hope you guys enjoyed it as well. And we're going to keep this thing rolling. We're going to keep momentum going. We're going to have more guests coming up in this week and beyond. So stay tuned and check it out on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook to find out who is going to be the next guest. I always throw out, if you guys have questions, like some for Ken Rosenthal threw in there for this episode, you guys could also interact with me on there. So I hope you guys enjoyed it, and let's get ready to jump into some more baseball throughout the week. We got plenty of it, and it's just getting started, and I can't wait to continue. So you guys have a good one, be safe, and I'll talk to you next time.